Hey, Katie.
Hey, Marie.
How you doing today?
You know, it is actually not a bad Tuesday as of current.
I still have
a whole evening to live with children, but I think it's because I've been crossing a lot of shit off my to-do list.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, girl. It's been a minute. and I purged. Like, I got rid of all of the baby stuff we don't use in this house.
Okay.
I've removed a ton of clothes and shoes that Leah does not fit into.
Okay.
They're in my dining room, but I have the intention of going to a secondhand store tomorrow. I just didn't have the time today. But like everything I've been wanting to do since yesterday and today, besides the drop off of Leah's two tiny clothing, it has been completed.
Yeah.
So it's been massive over here.
Honestly, it's spring cleaning like time. It is spring. It's April. So no time like the present.
No time like the present.
I did my spring cleaning around Christmas.
I love that.
I have a lot more to get out, but I cleaned out like three of my closets, and then I bought like organizers, and I cleaned out under my bathroom sink. I got rid of a whole bunch of stuff in my bathroom. But I need to do more.
I know everyone's like spring cleaning, but like I'm with you, like a winter purge, because mm-hmm. there's nothing else to do. So why not just sit inside and like do something? Also, when you're taking out decorations, I think it's an ample opportunity to like start nixing the shit that you don't want anymore.
Girl, that is the truth. Mm-hmm. So Kate and I were just talking because the last spilling the tea we did was on March 5th, but we recorded it early because I was in Florida. So I'm like realizing like I have read a lot since then. So I'm not going to go through all of them. I think there's like 18 books I've read, which we've talked about some of them.
When did we record it?
We recorded it on the 28th. I think we recorded it on Friday I left Sunday. Yeah.
I was like, wait, I knew we recorded early. So like, I literally have it on the exact book that like we haven't talked about yet, but I'm with you. Like I've read quite a bit since then.
Yes.
We'll do like spark notes and like a bit more focus on the ones we want to focus on.
Yeah. I was going to say like, there are definitely some that I would want to focus on more. We already talked about Wild Side, so we don't have to go there. We already talked about Promise Me Sunshine, so we don't have to go there, but there are some that I'm like, I feel like I could spark notes it for you. And then there's some that I'm like, I need to talk about these like in depth. So I'll give you a spark notes to start. And it's If We Were Villains by ML Rio. And it's like a dark academia. Mm. So I actually did talk about how I was either starting this or going to bring it with me on vacation.
Yes.
And it's basically, in my review, I said it's a book that I was too dumb to understand because there is a lot of Shakespeare references. And I was like, right over my head. But it didn't bother me. Like sometimes when I read a book and there's references that I don't understand, i.e. Not Another Love Song by Julie Soto. And I was like, so bored by all the music references. This was not like that. Okay. The main character is Oliver, and it starts off like 10 years in the future, and he's getting out of prison for the murder of one of his classmates. And then it goes back in time. So like the detective, he goes and he like meets Oliver at the prison, and he's like, I need to know what really happened. Like, I know you didn't do it. I need to know what really happened. And it's like it's kind of like a wild, dark story. They go to like the small like arts college in like near Chicago, I think.
Okay.
I'm like forgetting a little bit of it, but there are seven students that are in this like Shakespearean program. Okay. And one of them is a dick. Like his name is Richard. And he ends up dead, and they find him and they think that he's already dead. Like, he's, like, very clearly been attacked. He's in, like, the lake by the school. Earlier that night, he had attacked his ex-girlfriend. He had attacked one of the other guys. And they find him floating in, like, the lake in the morning. And then they realize that he's not dead yet. But he's, like, very close to death.
Right.
And they are like, let's just not do anything. And then, like, and he dies. Yeah. And then they call 911. And then there's this whole, like, who did it type of thing. And Oliver, I'm not going to give away, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but Oliver ends up in jail for it. And you find out, like, through him, like, retelling the story, what really happened. And then, like, what happened to everybody else that was, like, it was really very intriguing. I really, really liked it.
That sounds something right up my alley. Tell me.
Yeah, like, I think you would like it. It's like I said, it's very heavily, like, there are a lot of Shakespearean references, but not in, like, a bad way.
Okay. Consider, color me intrigued. It's funny, I'm gonna go backwards since that's what you started with. So I am also reading a dark academia vibe. It's YA fantasy. And I, like, hesitate to say that just because I feel like people automatically just write off the book because of a YA stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that it's more of a Throne of Glass YA, if you will, where you kind of, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
But it is called The Otherwhere Post.
Okay.
By Emily J. Taylor. So you meet the main character, female main character, and she basically has this new identity. Her dad was a murderer. She never stays in one place long enough. Essentially, something happened in one of the worlds where something was released, killed a bunch of people. You ran to, like, this door that brought you to another world, and, you know, you were removed for it. Someone saved her.
Mm-hmm.
She does find out who. But what happened, like, once those doors closed for you to escape, like, essentially it's isolating this one world, and everyone inside of it died. So everyone she knows is dead.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. But because her father was the one who committed this atrocious act, she's just kind of on the run. So these couriers are able to hop between the worlds and deliver a specific type of, like, what's stenography? Like, they're, like, you can kind of weave magic into writing.
Mm-hmm.
Things. Like, there's something to do with her dad, because, like, you keep getting little flashbacks for dad showing her something. I'm literally 25% of the book. But when I tell you I was up till 11:30 last night reading it, that means something, because your girl is in bed by 8:30 and passed the fuck out by 8:45.
Yeah.
So she takes someone's identity to get into this school because it's so prestigious. It's so hard to get into, because now everyone wants to be one of these other world couriers because no one can get to see their other loved ones. But some people are trapped other places.
Okay.
And that can, like, get there are these, like, letter carrier delivery people. She's gotten to the school. The guy who brings her there is one of these couriers. And he's like, I know you're just lying through your fucking teeth. Like, he calls her out on it. I'm kind of curious to see what happens, but it does have the dark academia vibes. A lot of mysteries, very twisty mysteries, I hear. I'm very captivated because the book that I was just trying to read, it took me 8 days to get to 25%. So I was like, oof. We must stop.
Yeah.
We must call it because it's
don't force it.
No, and that's what I was forcing it. So, like, this has, like, completely captivated me. So just piggybacking off of your dark academia.
Well, now that I'll piggyback off of your piggyback because okay. you said YA and, like, whatever. So I finished an arc. I was telling you about this, but I finished an arc last week called The Thrashers. It's by Julie Soto. And it's a YA paranormal, like, thriller. And it follows, there's five friends. Lucy, Paige, Julian, Jody, who's like the main character, and Zach Thrasher is his last name. And they didn't give themselves
knowing the names. That's a big deal.
This is only the fourth book that I've given 5 stars to this year, so I really liked it. So they are, like, they're a group of best friends. They are, like, the popular kids in their high school. It started out with Jody and Zach, like, meeting when they were in elementary school. And then Zach, he's this, like, very, like, charismatic, like, on the basketball team, whatever, like, kind of guy. And he ends up bringing in Julian and then Paige and Lucy eventually, too. Jody always feels like she's kind of, like, the outcast of the group. And all of the girls are, like, in love with Zach. And there's this, like, new girl, like, at school, And she is like obsessed with them. She like wants to be like in the group and become friends with them. And they invite her out like occasionally. She's kind of like the kind of girl who like, she just like cannot take a hint. Mm-hmm. And on prom night, she ends up unaliving herself. She takes a bunch of pills and gets into the bathtub. And I believe that she like drowns from taking the pills and everything. So the book starts like after the effect, like after that's happened. So that happens in May, and the book starts like a couple weeks before the new school year is starting. Right. And they're at a party and they basically all get arrested. Zach gets arrested for like statutory rape, because he's 18 and the girl was, I think, like 15 or 16. And then the other thrashers, as everyone in the school calls them, they're all arrested basically like for potentially bullying. And Jody is the only one who is kind of like let off, because the police have a journal that was supposedly Emily's. Emily's the girl who killed herself. They have the journal of Emily, and it's, there's stories in there that Jody's like, these are not like, this isn't true. Like, there's just like things that are like a little bit different. Like, oh, like this happened, but like not this way. Or like, this is a story that I told, whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of like intrigue there. It's like, every single character in this book, whether you love them or hate them, even Emily herself, who is like the victim, obviously, every single one of these people is extremely morally gray. Like, there is not a character that is good or a character that is bad, and that includes the victim. And I don't want to spoil anything, so that's all I'll really say about her specifically. But there's also a paranormal aspect to the story. And love it's it. Just really good. And then like the way that it ends makes like, I don't think that Julie has signed on for a sequel, but she set it up that there would be one. I guess maybe seeing how if this is a popular book. I think people who read this are going to be screaming for a second book with the way that the epilogue ends. And one of the characters who maybe is like the grayest or like the darkest of them all is my favorite. Like, I love this character, and okay. I need more. But it's really, I was intrigued, and I was like in the zone the entire time I was reading it.
I love it.
Yeah, it was so good.
Okay, so we're going to keep the piggyback game going. So I'm going to piggyback with two books very quickly, because they're arcs that are coming out to this summer. With the exception of one. Yeah, no, both are out in the summer. But both are kind of paranormally. It's the first I'll talk about is A Witch's Guide to Magical Innkeeping by Sangu Mandana. So she wrote the
I don't know.
It's a long one. The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches.
Oh, okay. Yep.
This was utterly fantastic. I gave it 5 stars for the sheer, like, it doesn't leave you kind of like how the Thrashers leave. Like, you could tell that you were feral for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be feral for, like, to me at least, like, for a cozy, magical, witchy vibe. It's like a comfort thing. And yes. This was like wrapping me in a warm blanket with a spoon stirring the tea by itself. And it just gave me everything I wanted for this book. Highly recommend. Great characters, fun, easy to follow plot. Very magical aspects. It was really good. I feel it was a bit more open door with the romance as opposed to very, very shut, close, tight door with book one. Book two I read is A Charming Touch of Tarot. It's the first book I read during spooky season a while back, An Enchanted Case of Spirits. It's cute. It gives like 40-year-old best friend book club vibes. Like,
okay,
all these women have like some secrets in the back closet that like your best friends, like they're coming out all this time later. But the main character just lost her husband in a car accident. The first book kind of focuses on how she all of a sudden is now able to see ghosts and entities and kind of has to help them pass over. Same thing kind of applies in book two. Like, now you're learning that they all kind of have interesting abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're just like a bunch of 40-year-old rogue women drinking some wine and then like going on some excursions together to go solve some crime. It's cute.
That'll be us in six years. Five,
110%. Like, I could just see us like being like old with like these crazy ass like big sunglasses on, like, yo, we're gonna go catch a fucking ghost, bitch. Just like get in the back seat, like one of those things.
Yeah.
But it's cute. Like, I would give it like a, it's a, like a 3.5 star book.
That is cute.
A Witch's Guide to Magical Inking, like I said, 5 stars. Do you have anything more to piggyback? Are we playing this game from now on out?
I know, I'm trying. It's less witchy, but like a fantasy book that I read. So we're keeping with the magic. Spark of the Everflame, which is book one in Penn Cole's Kindred's Curse series. So three of the books are out now. The fourth and final, I believe, book comes out in June. I am halfway through the second book, and I'm really enjoying the story.
Okay.
The main character is so freaking annoying.
Oh, fuck no.
Like, there are times when I love her, and I'm like, yes, bitch, slay. And then I have to keep reminding myself she's a 20-year-old girl. Because she makes the dumbest decisions. Like, she's born, she believes she's mortal. So in this world, there are the mortals and then there are the descendants. And the descendants, okay, so I guess there was like, I forget how many, I'm gonna say 7. There was 7 like gods that like came to Earth, and they all, and each of the 7 gods fucked a mortal, like married, fucked a mortal, whatever. Like, so they created this, like, they fucked. They created like a new race of like half mortal, half god ish people called the Descendants.
Okay.
And the thought process was that like the Descendants were supposed to be there to like protect the mortal realm, but like anybody with power, it goes to your head. And so at this point in time, in like the millennia or however long this world has been alive, the Descendants are basically like the upper echelon, and they make the rules and whatever, and they kind of treat the mortals like shit. And DM is, she's under the impression that she's mortal. She doesn't know who her biological father is, but she's raised by a mortal, her mortal mom and a mortal man. And she has like a younger brother who is also mortal, whatever. And obviously her mom obviously had a baby with a descendant, which if a mortal and a descendant get together and procreate, then that child is killed because the descendants don't want to like kind of like muddy their bloodline with like mortal blood. It's very like, yeah, not great. Anyway, so she's a healer, and her like childhood best friend slash like lover, Henry, his mom was killed by a descendant, whatever. He hates them. He's part of this like rebel group. He kind of like brings DM in. And in the meantime, she's like a healer, and she's like kind of like working around the descendant at this point. And she meets Luther, and like Luther is a babe. Okay. And from the beginning, he's like, who's this girl? And you're like, okay, so they're going to be mates straight off the bat. Like, I already know this. I'm literally 50% into book 2. They've kissed one time. It is a very slow burn. So if you love a slow burn, this one is slow as fuck. Anyway, at the end of book 1, the king dies, the king of like their realm dies, and the crown always passes to the like the next most powerful person. It doesn't matter like who's in line for the like for the crown. It's the whoever's the most powerful descended, and all of a sudden it passes on to her. Like, she's just like chilling, and then all of a sudden there's like a glowing crown above her head. So now book 2 is her like navigating, like, now I'm the queen, but she just, instead of being like, oh, like this is something that I don't know and I don't understand and everyone wants to kill me, she just like doesn't take a second to think. She's very, like, action-oriented with no thought process, and it's very frustrating to read. Because I want to be like, girl, stop. Like, just shut up. but I'm liking it.
Okay.
I've heard that. Yeah. So the first two books are like 400 to 600 pages.
Okay.
The third book I saw was over 1,000.
Ugh.
But it's on Kindle Unlimited, so you can buy the audiobook for like $7. So I did that because I want to continue, but I think that I've heard mixed things about the third book. So I'm going to do that one on audio.
Okay. I like that idea because then you can kind of like break it up a little bit. You're not like whole like pages.
Yeah, and I can like listen on my commute. I can come home and sit down and then like read it on the Kindle. And then, yeah, I have like, I'm going to hybrid read it.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Can you piggyback off of that?
Sort of. Annoying characters. That's what I'm going to piggyback off of. I'm gonna make some people mad with this statement.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. So I finally did Delicate Escape by Katherine Cowles. And in my opinion, it was fucking awful.
This is book two?
This is book two.
Okay, because I read book one, so we can...
And I liked it. This will not deter me. I will forever read Katherine Cowles. I think she is phenomenal. I love her writing. This is nothing against her writing, or anything of that nature. I did not like this story. And not because of what happened to the girl. All of her main characters have some kind of trauma background, trauma issue. I'm here for it. I actually really enjoy those types of reads because it's very applicable to a lot of people in the world. Not everyone is peachy keen, hunky-dory, and all is well in the world. Like, there's some shit that happens to people. So don't come at me for that. I will say, I thought this just was... I didn't buy it. I didn't believe it for a fucking second. Like, I just couldn't... I understand keeping the people out. Like, I get everything that she did. I think my issue does lie with her in some instances, because for how much she like pushes people away, she was so quick to like just like let this guy in, like, which is fine, to each their own, right? Totally fine. Maybe she felt some sort of way, maybe she felt safe, but for someone who went to like the extremes that she's gone to, I don't know what he did to like, there was no like, and like it's written out like, oh, you got to build her trust, like, because he has a friend who's, I don't know if it was like ex-FBI or something. He's like, you have to go extremely slow with her. Be super transparent. Do not lie. Trust is earned. That's just how it's going to work. And I'm like, yeah, this makes complete fucking sense. Like, you could tell there's something up. She won't let you inside her house. She's got all these locks on her doors.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, it makes sense. But then it was just like, all of a sudden, she was like, yeah, come in. Like, it's like, wait, what? Like, I don't know. Like,
that's, I've only read 3 Katherine Cowles books. And I read Fragile Sanctuary is the first book in this series. And then I read Missing Pieces. I think that's what it was called. Anyway, but I feel like what you're saying is how it is. Like, even in Fragile Sanctuary, it's kind of like, oh, I am this like brooding, like quiet person. Like, I don't want anybody near me. This is the guy. He's the FBI guy that you're talking about. Definitely.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he's like constantly like, and I get it. I do like the, oh, like I shouldn't be here, but I can't stay away. But there's a difference between like that trope and then the, like, you're telling me that this character is this way, but then they're doing all these things that don't make sense.
And I feel like this wasn't a very good series to start with. Like, there's so many other series of hers where like I binge listened because like I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
I'll have to actually tell you what they are, but like, I'm even like looking at someone else's review and like, actually it makes a lot of sense. Like, for someone who went through all this trauma, he not that he was making her uncomfortable, but like he was constantly there, like constantly around her. For someone who was like mentally abused and like put down and had like someone basically take over their life to like where she couldn't do anything because he was constantly questioning her, like, I don't know. He just got like a little protective in some instances where I was like, I just don't think this would be. And again, I'm not a victim of this, so like, I apologize, but I don't know. Like, what he was portraying to her, I would, if you were like, they lived happily ever after, I was like, I don't even fucking believe this. Like, are they just fucking? Like, I don't believe it at all. Like, I don't think she fully healed. I think it was like, all. And again, I don't know if you ever fully heal.
No, but I get what you're saying. Know.
I just don't think the formula was working. She has a formula. There's like a trauma background and a savior. And I think it works for a lot of her books.
Yeah.
I just don't think it worked for this story. Like, I just didn't buy into it. Like, that's all I can say about it. Is I just didn't buy it. Well, and it was very disappointing because as a Catherine Cowles fan, I do think, however, T, like, I don't think this was a series to start with because I liked book one, but it wasn't like those other series where I was like.
I know that like a while ago, I listened to Whispers of You.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
And I feel like I should just continue that series because I liked the that Lost one.
The Down series. I feel like that's a really good one.
Yeah.
There's a couple others out there that I was like, this is crap.
Oh, yeah, it's whatever. Speaking of characters with trauma, piggybacking, that's not funny, but I listened to My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell, which okay. is a book about a girl with a lot of trauma. Definitely check trigger warnings. This is like a very, I want to be sensitive about talking about it because it's a book about a high school student who is groomed by her much older English teacher.
Mm.
And it's told in alternating timelines. So it's, and I'm totally forgetting her. Oh, duh, it's Vanessa. I'm like, I'm totally forgetting her name. Duh.
Girl, you good?
Girl, no, I'm not good. Anyway, so it starts off in like current day, which I think is like 2017, we'll say around that. It's like, you know, not that far from now. Anyway, and it's kind of like where she's at in like life. And another student from her high school years later in like 2017 and present day has come out and accused this this teacher as being like as sexually assaulting her.
Okay.
And people are like I think the girl's name was Taylor, the student, the ex-student that came out. And she's reached out to Vanessa and is like asking for Vanessa's story. But Vanessa at this point in time is like still kind of in touch with the teacher. His name is Jacob Strain. And then it goes back in time and it's like she's away at a boarding school. Her first year, she becomes like best friends with this girl. Towards the end of the year, the girl gets a boyfriend and like completely like dumps Vanessa. So when she goes back for her second year, she doesn't have any friends. And which is, you know, like the first person who pays any attention to her is her 40 something year old English teacher. And he's telling her how like smart she is and complimenting her and everything. And it's obviously very groomy. And she's like completely intrigued by him. And the, you know, he'll like keep her after class and then like put his like hand on her leg. Like you could definitely tell he's like sussing her out.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, so it's told like back and forth. So you can kind of see like how the relationship develops and then how it continues and how like that really like mentally affected her and how it really affected her, like her relationships with other people and her relationships with other men and her parents and kind of like the trajectory of her life. And towards the end, she kind of like has this like breakthrough. She's in therapy. But she's always defending him.
Okay.
And then she finally has this like breakthrough where she's like realizes that even though she pursued him as well, and even though like she like wanted something to happen between them, like she was a child and he was a grown man.
Yeah.
And she finds out like more things about like about him because of like some other girls who have like said things. I don't know. It was just like it was, I think, just a very eye-opening story. And I think in a lot of instances that this like the younger person is sometimes like blamed. Well, like she knew what she was doing too, and it's like, yeah, maybe she did, but she was also 15 or 16 or 17 or even 18, and he was a 40 something year old man who was literally having an affair with his student. And like there's just like a lot of weird creepy parts, and it's kind of alluded to that like he was probably also a victim, because a lot of times like it's like a cycle, like if you're victimized you kind of grow into that. I don't know, I just thought it was like done really well, and I thought it was like very eye-opening in a lot of ways, and definitely not something that you could just like pick up. Like you definitely have to be in the right mind frame Because there, I mean, like, there's, it's just, it was like very heavy, but I thought it was really good.
I'm glad that there's one of us on here that's like, don't. I like laugh. It's not that I laugh. Like, younger Katie would have just picked up any old book. 100% would have read the synopsis and the last page, because I used to always read the last page of a book before starting said book.
Mm-hmm.
Got myself in some trouble with that one, but used to do it all the time. I would just go for it. And looking back, I'm like, what the? Who was I?
I feel like it would definitely be harder to read something like that when you have kids, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, it can open up like really great dialogue. Like if you like, you know, you have a daughter, like eventually like, hey, if like, I think that the younger generations are a little bit more aware of things.
Yeah. Like I think it kind of almost started with like us, like our generation, like you started to learn a bit more about like what to look for.
Yeah. But even like one of the other students like suspects something's going on and is like, you are being like taken advantage of. And they go, like, they go to the administration and, like, report him, and it's brushed under the rug. It's like, no. And this is, like, the early 2000s. Like, this is happening all, like, 2000, 2001, like, 2002. She gets kicked out of the school, and he just gets, like, a slap on the wrist. Like, it is so infuriating, because I feel like that was really the mentality. It was like, well, she's, like, she should know better.
Like, what? She's literally a teenager. What?
She's literally.
You might understand this might not be the right thing to do, but like, and maybe it's going to come out. I'm not trying to say it in this way, but like, what, like, high schooler didn't have like a semi crush on like a teacher at some point? You know what I mean? Like,
that's normal, but as the adult, you have to know not to pursue a child.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, it is not the 15-year-old. 16, 17, even 18-year-olds fall. Like, if that's what your age is, like, it's the adults that have
the adults. Adults need to act like adults. And he's very, he can be very, it's just, I don't know. I just really liked it. And I thought it was really cool that you got to see her in the present day, like, still kind of navigating, not knowing if it's wrong or right. Like, she, like, does, she still can't figure it out. And then she, like, does have this, like, breakthrough. And it ends on a positive note. It's not like she's like, oh, now I'm better and I'm healed. Like, it just ends on like a moral where I'm like, okay, I know she's going to be okay.
Yeah. I like that it's like a real, kind of like a Promise Me Sunshine thing, right? Like, you're not going to heal from something, but you're going to get to a place where you know there's forward trajectory.
Yeah.
For the most part.
For like, the most part.
Have a couple of little moments, but that's natural, I would assume, for any type of recovery.
Yeah.
Speaking, okay, so I'm going to piggyback in a very weird way, but having... having like the adult like responsibility.
Okay.
Like you are in so as an adult, you like you are in charge emotionally for your feelings as well as like a child's feelings. So I've never read, I don't think I read a personal growth book ever in my entire life. Like maybe I have, couldn't recall off the top of my head. And I was like, you know what? I think this would be a good morning ritual. Because I've been getting up early. And again, if you ever asked me if I would ever get up before my kids on purpose to have me time, I'd laugh in your face. And here I am laughing at myself for saying such words because I'm eating them. So I'm going to only call out, I'll tell you what I read, but I will only call out in particular two books.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with Don't Believe Everything You Think. And I think it's a wonderful, and I think it's a wonderful first book. If you're looking to start maybe on a personal growth reading journey, but don't know where to start because it's only 124 pages.
Okay.
It's very short chapters. And especially if you have, especially like, I feel like a lot of, I know men spiral and have a lot of thoughts also. So I'm not saying this, but I do feel like, at least for me, like I feel like girls tend to have this because we're trying to do 8,000,000 things, run a house, whatever. So I feel like for me in particular, it was a really good first stepping stone book to kind of like learn to turn your brain off. And I know it sounds silly because like he literally is preaching to not think. And it's like, well, pray to how the F do you carry on in life and do your job, like just anything. And it he goes more off of like your gut reaction, your instincts, which how many times have you taken a test and your gut said to go with option A, but then you start to think and then you went with B. And if you just went with A, you would have gotten it right. But also to like, you have to be like actionable more so too, like control your actions, like be more present and things will come. Like you will, sometimes you have to work through things in order to figure things out. Like you sitting here thinking about a problem isn't going to solve the problem. You have to do an actionable action in order to get to like, is this outcome was what I was expecting? And if it wasn't, is maybe this is even better. So
yeah,
I really liked that. I do think, again, if you're looking to kind of learn to control your spiraling anxious thoughts, it's a good first book. And then The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. Now, if you want to talk about a life-changing book, I would strongly suggest this book. She wrote it with her daughter. And I feel like when you read it, it's one of those books where you go, oh my God, this was my next thought. Oh my God, she's thinking what I'm about to think. Like, she was like in my mind. There was a lot towards the end that wasn't applicable, but I do like the fact that she goes over how to handle certain instances in life that maybe you are dealing with. It just wasn't something that applied to me, but still very interesting. But it really goes over like letting them, okay, anybody else, have their thoughts, feeling you're not going to be people, you're not going to please every single person. Not every person's going to like you.
People's Speak actions, for yourself.
People's actions you cannot control. Like it really, again, focuses heavy. A lot of these books are the same message, just said differently. It's just a matter of what you connect with. But I think this was so freaking well done that I would actually reread it.
Okay.
Which I think says something.
Yeah.
I did read The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which I do think it was a funny read. But after a while, I was like, your message is literally just to not, you have to pick what fucks to give. You can't give a fuck about everything. That's literally the message. I do think there's some good takeaways in the beginning, but like nothing and not, like whatever. And then I read two others, Raising Good Humans, which I just think for any parent, maybe it's a good first starter book because, again, it's teaching you that you are in charge of how you help develop your child's emotions. It's not up to your child.
Yeah.
And how to handle, like, the tantrums. And it's not how you handle your child. It's how you handle yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing. It's like me speaking to my two-year-old isn't – I'm not going to get anywhere. So it's like, what can you do? Like – and, I think we're in a day and age where nowadays, like, if you see a child in public having a tantrum – I don't have a thought. I'm like, that parent's going to do whatever they need to do. And if it's just letting the tantrum play out, that's sometimes all you can do. Like there's, whereas like back in the day, it was like such a taboo thing to have your child act out in public. But I'm like, but again, she was like, they're fucking two, like they're five. Like these are
I
children.
Feel like
the brain didn't freaking develop till you're 25. So like,
no, exactly. Like I honestly think that people who have issues with, I mean, listen, are there times like, where a parent needs to probably step in and be like, hey, cut the shit, kid. But a lot of times it's like a kid is a kid and they are learning their emotions and they're learning like just what the world is. Sometimes their feelings are a little too big. And I don't think it's fair when people judge a parent or a child within reason, of course, but judge them for like a reaction. Honestly, like, there were times when I know that my mom would just be like, you threw a tantrum in the store because I wouldn't get you what you wanted. And I knew if I engaged with you, like, it would make it worse. So I would literally ignore you and, you know, make sure you were following me. But yeah, like, and you would just freak out the entire time. And then we would, like, get home and you'd be like, sorry, mommy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a Sour Patch Kid. But, like, same thing. Like, we laugh all the time because, like, whenever we bring Leah home, especially because when we pick up, I think the pulling away is like different. So when we come home on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from his parents' house, and by he, I mean my husband, we laugh. So I'm like, our I don't even know what our neighbors think. So we have a screaming toddler in our arms, screaming Gaga Pop's house, because that's all she wants to do is go back there.
Yeah.
But it's like, she doesn't understand that like you have to go home. Like she's, again, she's turning two this month. Like, so it's just, I don't know. It was just a really good book because, again, like I feel like there's so much focus on how to make your little child or tiny human what you want, but you don't do that. You have to start with yourself.
Yeah.
So there's been like a lot of like Tom and I are doing, like making sure, like even the way she speaks back to us, like I couldn't even yell at her. I was like, oh my God, that's what we say to her.
Yeah.
So when you're spitting something back at us and it doesn't sound that nice, I'm like, well, that's what I sound to you. So I can't even get mad at you because I was doing it to you.
Yeah.
I know. It was one of those like nice flip eye opening moments where I was like, oh fuck, we have a lot of work to do. So
yeah.
It was a really good, I don't know. I thought it was fun. It was a good read to me. Again, super short, which I appreciate. And then I finished up the year with Rich Routines. And again, another personal development book, but like, I think the focus that it was on building family traditions.
Yeah.
I feel a lot of, like, you're very close with your family,
mm-hmm.
your mom and your brother. Like, I'm not saying I'm not close, but like, there's different levels of closeness. So it's like, how do you build certain, like, how do you build that bridge to stay in, like, in connection with your child? So it just was kind of cool to, like, see what someone recommends to do as they get older.
Yeah.
And again, it's, like, all common sense stuff, but sometimes you just need to hear it.
Well, sometimes you don't have the common sense when you're just trying to keep two little kids alive. Yeah. So you need somebody to be like, hey.
This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. I'm like, this is cool. So that's what I've been doing every morning.
Katie's been reading self-help. I've been reading more, like, random shit. So I'm going to rapid fire From Nowhere by Julianne, which is the second book from Air. We did, we interviewed her. We had her episode. We really liked From Air. This one was cute. It wasn't as good, but I liked it. And it was, like, very quick, like, very good palate cleansing kind of book.
Okay.
You Between the Lines by Katie Naiman. This was recommended to me because people were like, oh, it's like just like Beach Read. And I was like, oh, one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah.
It was good. It was not like Beach Read, except for the fact that there were two writers. Anyway. Unsteady and Unloved by Peyton Corinne. These are college hockey romances, but they are not light and fluffy. So I said it's like a college hockey romance meets Boys of Tommen, which is like Binding 13. It's less traumatic than Boys of Tommen, but it's less fluffy than the typical college hockey romance. It's kind of, there's, both of the characters are working through different kinds of issues, whether it be abandonment issues, PTSD, death of a parent, abusive relationships. There's like a lot of like different things that are going on.
Okay.
So it makes it a little bit more, a little deeper of a story. So if you like college hockey romance, but you like more depth and like deeper characters, then I think that those were two really good books. And then, sorry, I'm like, oh, what else did I read? The Gray Shear by Kim Liggett, which is a dystopian book that was pitched to me as Handmaid's Tale meets Hunger Games. And I'm going to pitch it to you as Handmaid's Tale meets Hunger Games. There's like the county and like the women can't meet, like they can't meet in person. Basically, the Gray Shear is, I think when you turn 18, I think it's 18. It might be 16. I think it's actually 16. Anyway, it doesn't matter. When you turn a certain age, the women who are all that age for an entire year are like sent to this like island to expel their magic, which I think is basically just like the way to get them away from like creepy men who are going to be like, they seduced me with their womanly wiles or whatever. Before they go, there's a veiling ceremony, and the eligible / unmarried men in town go to the veiling ceremony, and they like pick one of the girls, and that girl, when she comes back, becomes his wife. And there's not a man for every woman. There's like more women than men. And if you're not picked, then you basically like become like, you have to work in the fields, or you become like a prostitute, whatever. It's just like not a good place for women. Like, they're not allowed to have like opinions or anything, and at any point a man can be like, oh, like my wife did X, Y, and Z, and like they just like execute her, and then he gets to pick a new wife. Like, nice. Terrible. Like, so basically, like, her one sister, the main character's one sister, like has not gotten pregnant yet, and they're all like worried that she's gonna be like cast out and that he's gonna pick a new like woman. Anyway, it's like really crazy. And then there are, so like, they think that there is magic. Like, they are told that there's magic. So when they get to this like little like campsite or whatever, and one of the girls is like literally batshit crazy, and she's pissed because the guy that she wanted to pick her didn't pick her. He picked his best friend, who's the main character. I forget her name. Oh my God. And Tierney is her name. Anyway, long story short, it was really good. And I don't want to give anything away, so actually I'm not going to say anything else. But I really liked it.
stop right there.
You know, I was going to say more, but I was like, honestly, I think you would like it. So I don't want to spoil anything. It was like really good. There's a lot of like crazy shit that happens, obviously. But it ends on like a positive note. So it's a standalone. I don't think we're going to get any more. I could see that she could definitely write more. But it ends on a note where, like, it gives you a little bit more hope for the future.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's all that I think that I read. I know that I did finish Say You'll Remember Me by Abby Jimenez, which we will review next week. But I know that you're halfway through.
I got 3 hours left.
Okay. I don't want you to, like, give anything away, obviously, because it technically just came out, but are you liking it so far?
Okay, so I will say this.
Because I know that it's...
I texted you.
Yeah.
And the reason why I texted you is because the first, I don't know how long, but I kind of was like, am I not liking this?
Yeah.
That was my first reaction. Like, I wasn't, and I'm not, without unpacking, I didn't buy into what was happening at first.
Yeah.
Like, I was, and again, I was like, okay, like, back up a second. Like, this could, like, think more, like, being in a relationship at an older, or not even a relationship, like, meeting someone at an older age. And when I mean by older, I mean, like, not 22.
Yeah. I think they're, like, 28 and 29. Like
28 and 29. So I was, like, trying to wrap my head around this. And I was like, I just, I'll buy it. I'll buy it. That's all I'll say. And I will say now, I'm liking it.
I was going to say a lot. So I think that if you go into this book expecting this like romance, which is what you would expect from an Abby Jimenez book, it's less about the romance and more about like the familial like obligations.
That's the vibe I'm getting right now.
And I don't think that people, I wasn't expecting it, but I think I just felt more of a connection to it because the filming character's mom has dementia, and a lot of what she's got, which we'll get in depth when we talk about this next week, but what a lot of what she's experiencing is like very familiar to me. So I was connecting it on that level. The romance does fall a little flat. I like both of the characters, but it's very, just so you guys are aware, it's legitimately insta-love because they go on a date and the next day she moves from Minnesota to California. So Samantha and Xavier are like long distance from the beginning. And they're not together right off the bat. There's like, he's just like obsessed with her.
Yeah. And I can understand going on a date with someone and not wanting the night to end. Like, there's some things there that I'm like, this does make sense. And maybe it is just strictly because it's instant love. And that to me is like, you're going to me, there's like I understand instant attraction.
Yeah.
An instant want to like continue to know this person. But the thing that they were talking about on their first date, and again, I was like, were they friends before? No.
I think that this book would have been perfect. And I don't even care that it was, that they were long distance and barely like were together. I think that they should have had maybe like a month worth of dates leading up to her leaving and him like knowing she's leaving and like whatever. And then
from the start, like, I'm cool with that.
And then just being like, oh, like, we are getting along so well, like, we can try to work this out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seemed just like a little crazy that they spent like, I don't know, like 10 hours together.
Like, if some guy wanted to fly out to see me.
But again, like, I watch these, like, TikTok stories of these girls who, like, go abroad with their friends and, like, meet a guy, like, in Italy, like, one night. And then, like, all of a sudden they're married, like, 4 years later.
My cousin Suzanne, her parents were stationed in Germany and she met her husband there. So, like, maybe a little bit longer of a time frame. But still, like, she went there because her parents were there. And then, like, she's now in Germany. So... I believe some aspects. Yeah. I think there needs to be a bit more than just 10 hours together. Complete fucking strangers, 10 hours together.
Yeah. And like, it's marketed as...
Okay, thank you. We need to talk about this.
Yes. It's marketed as like Grumpy Sunshine.
Oh, no, hold on. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about something else. So
you okay. Continue. Man is not grumpy.
No, he's not.
He's a little, like, he's having a bad day the first time they meet. And he's not, like, super nice. But that's, like, very quickly. Hot. Yeah, and that's, like, very quickly not an issue. He's
not nice. The man fucking jumps into a goddamn lake on the first
date. No, I'll say this man. No, like, what I will say is maybe he's vanilla. Xavier is, like, the perfect man. Like, yeah, literally, like, is, like, I don't want to get, we'll talk about it next week. But, like, literally, he's a great person. I think I did have an issue with one of the other things that was, it was marketed.
It's marketed as a rom-com.
Okay, and no, it's not a rom-com.
This book's a rom-com.
No, this book is, honestly, to me, this book is more lit fic with a romance subplot.
Yes. Think Emily Henry.
Yeah. The romance is not the main focus.
No.
It's more about her and dealing with her ailing mother and the family dynamics about how to give care for the mother and everything like that. And his thing is, like, dealing with, like, childhood trauma and how that's affecting his, like, personal life.
Yeah.
But it's, the romance is a subplot, IMO. So take that with a grain of salt. I did like it. I gave it 4 stars. It's not my favorite of hers. It's nowhere near as good as Just for the Summer. It's nowhere near as good as Life's Too Short, which is my second favorite of hers. And, but it's not bad.
To be discussed more.
To be discussed more next week.
We can easily continue, and I don't want
to. Yeah, no, I know. I'm like, okay, no. I keep saying we're not going to say anything else, and then I keep saying something else. So we had to change our schedule around. Obviously, today, Spilling the Tea. Next week, we'll be doing Say You'll Remember Me by Abby Jimenez. On the 16th, Love and Other Conspiracies by Mallory Marlowe. On the 23rd, Spilling the Tea. And on the 30th, Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. Another book that I've heard mixed things about, but I honestly believe none of them. If I heard mixed things about Funny Story too, and that's 5 stars. So if Emily Henry writes it, I'm going to give it 5 stars. Unless it's people we meet on vacation, and then it'll get 4.
I still like that book, though.
Oh, 4 stars is great. I'm just saying it's my least favorite of the M. Hem books. But that's what we're looking at for April. I can't believe it's April already. January was 435 days. February and March were 10 days each.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this on Wednesday the 2nd, you guys, it's been one whole year since my hysterectomy, and I have never felt better. I'm celebrating. Yeah, snaps. Golf clap. Okay. We, no, we're not. Yeah, no, true. Okay, I have nothing else. So I'm at that point, Katie Jean, can you please send us out?
I certainly can.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.